Welcome to Slapshot Podcast, episode number 8, brought to you by The Fantasy Fix. I'm your host, Christopher Morez. I'm ready to start another amazing week. Yes, I hope you all had wonderful success playing DFS over the weekend. Maybe you made a lot of money, maybe you didn't. Same thing for season-long owners. I hope you all won your matchups. I hope you're all destined for playoff greatness. Or if you're like me, your fantasy pool is just slowly falling apart because every player seems to be getting injured. Yeah, it's always like that for me, right? The pools start off really good and then they just fall apart. There's so many injuries. Henrik Lundqvist, his neck. Who knows how that's gonna go? Corey Schneider. Lower body. I don't know what's gonna come back, but I need both of those goalies to help me in the multiple pools that I'm in. I just want to make the playoffs. That's all I want to do. I want to make the playoffs and have some success. Maybe pick up a championship. I don't know. It would be nice. I would probably put that on my resume at some point. I'd be like, hey, 2016 fantasy hockey champion. Like, you would want to hire somebody who wins at fantasy sports. I would, but, you know, I guess not everybody's like me. Today's podcast is going to be amazing. We're going to look at the winners and losers of the NHL trade deadline. It was very non-eventful. It was non-eventful. Not much went on, very few trades, nothing really that was like, oh yes, that's what I expected. But there are still some teams that did things, and there are other teams that did absolutely nothing. So we're going to break that down today. We're going to look at the winners and losers. Let's start with the losers, okay? Because I want to finish this on a high note. Let's start with teams that either didn't do anything or just made a lot of bad choices. That's what I'm going with here. A lot of bad choices. Let's start with the Vancouver Canucks. Yes. Being Jim Benning must be quite hard. Nothing on his front. Nothing. There are basically two players that they should have gotten rid of. Radim Vrbata and Dan Hamhuis, right? Pending UFAs. You should probably try to get something for them. Not only did they not move Dan Hamhuis, they didn't move Radim Vrbata either. Radim Vrbata I can live with, okay? Canuck fans, I can live with that. He was injured. Apparently nobody called about Radim Vrbata, which is fine. But sometimes with certain players, you just got to try to sell them to another team, right? It's like buying something on TV, you know, the as seen on TV. Right, they do a really good job of selling you something you probably don't need anyways. Jim Benning didn't do that. Couldn't get a deal for Dan Hamhuis done. So many rumors about him maybe going to Boston, somewhere else, a contender, Dallas. Nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. Nothing. Look, the Canucks are out of a playoff spot. Okay. And they got nothing for two players who are going to leave. Unless they want to re-sign Dan Hamhuis and Radim Vrbata, but I don't think that. I mean, they're not getting younger, right? And the Canucks as a team are not getting younger. So this was a great opportunity. Look, even if you get a fourth round pick, even if you get, I don't know, a conditional pick or future consideration, something, if you get something for these two, it's a win. It's a win, straight up. The Canucks, like I said, not bound for a playoff spot. So what are they playing for? There are kids who could use this time to develop. Nope. Jim Benning, once again, letting Canuck fans down. They were probably the biggest losers on trade deadline. I just can't see. I don't know. That's it. Next, let's go. Oh, this one's a good one. I'm going to give a big giant red X to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yes. We're going to go back. I've talked about it before. Jonathan Drouin is basically sitting at home, rotting away. Tampa Bay is doing well, okay? Tampa Bay is doing well without Jonathan Drouin. Fine. They've won, like, I don't know how many games now. 9 in a row, I think it is. They could have used Jonathan Drouin as a trade piece to get something to help them down the stretch be even better than they already are. They got excellent goaltending, okay? Their defense is pretty good. And they're scoring now. Okay, their top six is pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not bad. But they didn't add anything. And I'm looking at all the other teams, especially out west. And Tampa Bay just didn't get better. They didn't get better. They're a good team, but they didn't get better. Nothing came in. Nothing. And you have a guy like Drouin sitting around. You know how much he's worth. And he didn't get anything. There were offers on the table for Drouin. But I have a feeling Steve Yzerman is still trying to sell Drouin at the price that he thinks he should get him for. And look, that's great, okay? But nobody's going to buy Jonathan Drouin at whatever price Steve Yzerman wants him at. It's not going to happen. He's had a ton of time to try and move him. And I don't think anybody's... There's no NHL GM right now that's biting on it. So something has to give. And there's a good chance that it's going to be Steve Yzerman. Now, the next chance for them to trade him is at the draft. Is he going to move him there? Maybe. But they had a chance right now to go out and get a player. A player and a pick, probably. And I'm convinced that Steve Yzerman is looking for a first-round pick and a top prospect for Jonathan Drouin, and he's not going to get him. He's not going to get both. He's not. But he's convinced that he can, right? And he's said it multiple times, right? The Lightning are not going to be forced into a position where the player dictates what's going on. Yzerman has said it. Yzerman also came out and says, hey, Drouin is welcome to come back and be part of this team. Why does he want Drouin to be part of this team again? Well, of course. So he can boost his trade value. That's why. That's the only reason you would look at a kid right now and say, hey, you're kind of being hard-headed. We drafted you. We paid you, you know, whatever it is. We want you to get better. We sent you down to the American Hockey League, and you've decided you don't want to play. If it was up to me, it'd be real simple. I'd say, hey, we're going to get rid of you, right? And that'll be that. But Steve Yzerman, again, he's been unable. And look, he's a good GM, okay? Don't get me wrong. Before you start criticizing me. He's a great GM. But now I feel like he's being really, really stubborn here. And he missed an opportunity to make his team better. That's all I'm saying. He missed an opportunity to make his team better. What if the Tampa Bay Lightning falls short a little bit? What happens? Do you turn and you look at Yzerman and say, well, this team didn't get better? What if they get ousted in the first round? Could happen. I don't think it will, but it could. Do you blame Steve Yzerman? Do you say, hey, you went out and got absolutely nothing at the trade deadline for us? Nothing. Maybe. But, you know, the Lightning are still in good position. They're still a good team. I don't think they get bounced. I would have liked to see Yzerman move Drouin. Now, everybody would benefit from this situation. Right now, we're still at the exact same spot we were like a month and a half ago. Next. Oh, the Boston Bruins. Yes. Losers. The Bruins really did. This is amazing, right? Because so they went out and they added some players, okay? John Michael Lyles, Lee Stempniak. All right. Depth guys, right? Stempniak coming over from New Jersey, Lyles over from Carolina. Great. The Boston Bruins traded a 2017 second round pick, a 2016 fourth round pick, a third round pick in 2016, and then a fifth round pick in 2017. And Anthony Kamara for two players. What? Oh my, you what? I'm pretty sure Don Sweeney lost his mind here. Look, it's good to go out and get some depth. But, I mean, you gave up a whole bunch of 1, 2, 3, 4 picks and a player. for Tuukka, for Stempniak and Lyles. Okay. Lyles has a 3.8 cap hit. If I'm not mistaken, he's still on the hook next season. Okay. Stempniak was, I mean, he was pretty good. He's not going to play a top six role in Boston, okay? He's not going to play on the first line like he did in New Jersey, okay? He's slowed down since the All-Star break, okay? He has. And, I mean, let's face it, he was not going to maintain this crazy pace that he was on. But you basically overpaid for two players, okay? And, you know, are the Bruins really a threat to win a Stanley Cup this season? I don't know. Does John Michael Lyles really solidify that defense?
No.
I would have much rather see them give that ice time to Colin Miller instead, right? That would be good. That would be good for development. That would help a player get even better. No, that's not happening now. The Bruins instead have thrown a whole bunch of picks away. Acquired two, I mean, average players. At best, they're average. At best. And I mean, this just doesn't, it just doesn't make sense. I'm like, the Bruins are neither buyers nor sellers at any given point. You don't know if they're rebuilding or if they're contending. This is the same team that sat at the draft table last season and went out and acquired three first round picks. And you're saying, well, this is a team that's slowly starting to retool. No, because now we moved a whole bunch of picks for, I mean, two average guys. That's what they did here. They moved too many picks for not enough. They even gave up a player. Oh, like, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. I don't know why Boston did this. I don't know. To me, losers. You paid way too much for this. Way too much. They did not shop around. Clearly, they wanted to add these guys. They were willing to give up whatever they needed to get them. And there you go. Whole bunch of picks. Losers. Who else is on this list? Ah, yes. The Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars are interesting. Okay. They need help on defense. Let's not kid anybody, okay? This is a team that needs to be better defensively. I said this at the beginning of the year. I said they're not a Stanley Cup team with Antti Niemi and Kari Lehtinen in a net and their defense having to be, you know, extremely good. This is a team that went out and acquired Chris Russell. And look, I'm not going to bash Chris Russell. Okay, he's average. Okay, he's average. But they paid a conditional second round pick that could become a first round pick if Dallas makes it to the conference final. Yeah, the Dallas Stars basically could possibly trade a first round pick for Chris Russell. Look, I don't know what Jim Neal was consuming before saying this is a good idea. I will proceed with this trade. But oh my God. Jim Benning is, I mean, he's an interesting GM. He makes a lot of bad decisions. This one was the best. Jim Neal paying a conditional second round. Like, I want to know how that conversation went down. I want to know if Calgary was like, hey, give us a second round pick for this stud defenseman here. And, you know, if you guys make it to the conference final, we'll make it a first round pick. But, did Jim Neal say, absolutely, that sounds like a great idea? No, like, did nobody in that room with Jim Neal say, hey, maybe that's a little too much for Chris Russell. Let's look around somewhere else. Look, Chris Russell is going to block shots. He's going to play the penalty kill. He's not going to revolutionize the defensive position in Dallas. He's not going to be this, you know, guy who's going to quarterback the Dallas power play or something. No, that's not what he is. So why would you trade your conditional second round pick and they threw in two more players? Yoki Paka and Brett Pollock. Yeah, I'm trying to understand why Dallas would do this. Yes, you want to, you know, you're competing for the Stanley Cup, right? The Dallas has a really good team. They have problems on defense. I don't think they make it to the conference final. Not with that defense. No. Their goaltending is shaky at best. They give up a ton of goals on the road. And they like Chris Russell's going to solve all this for you, right? You're saying this is the guy I'm going to pay. Like Dougie Hamilton netted a first round pick from Boston, right? Remember when Boston's like, we don't need Dougie Hamilton here, first round pick. And then I'm thinking of it right now, and I don't understand. I don't know how. I don't know how this deal went through. I don't know who initiated this. But Dallas, you screwed up here. This, like, I hope they don't make the conference final just so we don't have to talk about Chris Russell being traded for a first round pick, because that sentence doesn't make sense. But I mean, I don't know. Not good. Finally, last loser. Yes. The New York Islanders. Look, trade deadline day is about paying too much for something you don't need, right? Just finished talking about Dallas. Okay. Apparently the Islanders are not sure how this works. Okay. They're not sure. So the Islanders just came out flat out and said, look, we're not willing to move our first round pick, and we're not willing to give up prospects to acquire players. Okay. You want to make your team better. You're trying to, you know, secure a playoff spot. And you are unwilling to give up picks and prospects to acquire these players. Okay. What are you willing to give up in that case? Teams are looking for picks and prospects in return for players that can help your team immediately, okay? Or maybe, you know, down the line. So many rumors about PA Parento returning to the Islanders, right? Toronto, guess what they're looking for? Probably a pick and a prospect, okay? Pick and a prospect. They could have easily, right? They were unwilling to move their first-round pick. That's what the Islanders said. I'm pretty sure that Lou Lamoriello was not sitting on the telephone going, hey, we want a first-round pick for PA Parento. Pretty sure that's not how it was going, okay? Maybe you move a second round, maybe a third round. Brandon Peary got a sixth-round pick. The Panthers traded Peary for a sixth-round pick. Are you telling me, like Parento at three? Even if you want to push it at two, I would feel much better if the Islanders paid a second-round conditional pick with the possibility of it becoming a first if they made the conference finals, then Dallas doing it for Chris Russell. That is the goal, to make your team better. The Islanders, I don't know, they could use some players to make them feel better. P.A. Parento would have fit perfectly. He would have gone back, slot into a top six position. But no. No. The Islanders are like, no, I'm not giving you anything that you possibly want. I am going to go into a store. I'm going to pick up this loaf of bread. I will not give you cash or credits or debit. I'm not going to give you traveler's checks only. That's no sense. I don't know what the Islanders were thinking. Again, they're in a really tough Eastern Conference. Okay, they got the Penguins. They got the Rangers. I think the Capitals are in the Metropolitan Division as well, right? Yes, Capitals are in that division as well. You have a lot of really good hockey teams in that division, okay? Sure. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers are basically out of it. But you are trying as hard as possible to make the playoffs, okay? Which is what you're trying to sell to the people of Brooklyn. You're like, hey, come watch New York Islanders hockey. And you just like, no, I'm not trading a first round pick. Fine, you don't want to trade a first round pick, that's fine. But you could not make a deal anywhere else with anybody for maybe a fourth round pick for a player to make this team better. That's what you're saying. We're unwilling to move picks and prospects. Sorry, there's not much left after that, right? No sense. I don't understand. What were you doing, New York Islanders? I don't understand. That makes no sense. Trade deadline. Everybody knows how it works. Apparently, the Islanders didn't get the memo. Those are my losers. Right? That's basically, in a nutshell, those are the teams that I feel failed at doing something. Let's go over to the winners, though. The winners are much, much happier. I like the winners better. Okay? I'm going to start with the flat-out winner of the trade deadline 2016. It's the Chicago Blackhawks. It's really, really simple. Stan Bowman is a genius, okay? No shock, because his father is Scotty Bowman, right? I mean, like father, like son. Stan Bowman, the Chicago Blackhawks, everybody knows they're up against the cap. They're like right there, right? So the easy excuse Stan Bowman could have said is, well, I don't have any cap room. I can't go out and acquire all the players I possibly need. No. Stan Bowman goes out and acquires Andrew Ladd, Christian Ehrhoff, Dale Weiss, Thomas Fleischmann. That's amazing. He acquired three forwards and a defenseman, all while being pretty much crunched up against the cap. That's amazing. Look, Andrew Ladd's going to slot into that top line perfectly. He can play top nine anywhere you need him to. He's going to play next to Jonathan Toews. And then when Marian Hossa comes back, oh boy, they're going to get a whole lot better real quick. Christian Ehrhoff, depth defenseman, seventh, eighth guy. You can never have too many defensemen. Dale Weiss, Thomas Fleischmann, right? Look, Dale Weiss is not going to have a top six role. He's not going to have the role he had in Montreal, okay? He's a third line guy, maybe even a fourth. On a really good team, that's where he should be. Thomas Fleischmann, same thing. Bottom six role. But you went out and you got depth. And every team that is competing to win the Stanley Cup needs as much depth as possible. Mark Bergevin loves to say it about defensemen. You can never have too many defensemen. And Stan Bowman went out and acquired a whole bunch of players that make this Chicago Blackhawks team deeper. To me, they're the Stanley Cup favorites. You went out, you got better. That's what you did. You brought in reinforcements. Even if these players are bottom six guys, doesn't matter. You still went out and you did something. You made your team better. These guys are going to be able to help the Blackhawks win games. It's going to happen. And Stan Bowman is a genius for being able to fit all of this under the cap using all his IR spaces and making trades and just finding a way to do it. Congratulations, Stan Bowman. That's how you work the trade deadline. That's how you work the trade deadline. I mean, the Hawks are legit. They're legit. They're legit. This was a scary team before. They're even better now. They're even better. I don't have anybody else, man. It's as simple as that. It's the Hawks. Sure, there's going to be a team that's going to, right, there's going to be three teams that are going to compete against the Hawks to make it to the Stanley Cup final. But I don't see any team beating them in a seven-game series. I don't see any team in the Western Conference beating the Chicago Blackhawks four times. I don't. Not Anaheim. Not LA. Those are good teams, though. They're really good. They're gonna give Chicago a run for their money. But I don't look at those teams and say, hey, that depth really scares me. The Ducks have a really good defense. LA's been there, done that. They're just that kind of team. But the Hawks? Whew. Man, the Hawks scare me. Speaking of the Ducks, they're winners on trade deadline. And the Ducks are winners because this is a team that, remember when Bruce Boudreau wasn't very good and people were worried about him? They're like, hey, we should probably fire him. And then management was just like, no, right? We're going to let him figure it out. And then they did. Okay. Literally, they started from the bottom. Now they're here. They go out, and like I said earlier, they acquired Brandon Perry for a sixth-round pick. He's hurt right now. Doesn't matter. He fills a top-nine role easily. This is a guy who could play top six role like he did in Florida and produce. He can do it. But he's going to fit in perfectly to that third line and make the Ducks even deeper. The Ducks are a good team. They just got a whole lot better. Same thing. Jamie McGinn. Okay? For a conditional third round pick. To me, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I like Jamie McGinn. Jamie McGinn's going to slot into that second line role. Okay? With Rickard Rakell and Corey Perry. He can score. He can score. He can do it. So you're not bringing in a guy, a nobody, and saying, hey, we're going to hope it works out really well. No. You went out and you got two players who can play top six roles if you need them to, but are more likely to play bottom six roles. Right? You can move McGinn and Perry and it doesn't matter, but the Ducks are deeper because of this. And let's not forget, right? Anaheim started trade deadline early. They went out and acquired David Perron. Beautiful. David Perron plays next to Getzlaff on the top line. Right? Perron he's done well since coming over, surprisingly, because I looked at David Perron and I was like, well, if you can't succeed playing with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, I don't know how you will succeed anywhere else. And then I guess he has to play with Ryan Getzlaff to be successful. The Ducks have two legitimate scoring lines now, which means that they can split up Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaff and still be really good offensively. Their bottom six is pretty good. Silverberg, Cogliano, Kessler, those are guys that are just good. They're good at the roles that they're going to play. That makes them a better team. Everybody's going to fit into their role. Everybody knows what they got to do. It's good. I like it. Good for the Ducks. And they managed to keep all of their defensemen, including their young stud, Shea Theodore. This Ducks team is redonkulously good on defense. There was so much talk. And then again, I would have liked to see this happen about Drouin going over to Anaheim. Let's not forget, the Ducks have Sami Vatanen and Lindholm to sign, okay? Those guys are going to get paid. But Anaheim was smart. They said, hey, look, we'll deal with that when we get there, okay? When we need to talk about money and salary, we'll deal with that when we get there. Right now, we're trying to win a Stanley Cup. So if I get to keep both these players and acquire other players to make this team better, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Murray did an excellent job. Anaheim has probably one of the top three teams in the NHL defensively. Everything about that team defensively, I like. I like it all. I like Vatanen. I like Lindholm. I like Fowler. I like Bieksa. Those, right? This is a defense that is good. They're good. And now they've added more scoring up front. And this is a team that will challenge Chicago for a trip to the Stanley Cup Finals. They will. I don't think they beat Chicago. But they're going to challenge them. They're going to challenge them to get there. And I like that. I like that. I like what they did. Good on Anaheim. They just figured it out. Who else? Let's stay in the Western Conference. The Winnipeg Jets. I'm going to give the Winnipeg Jets a win. Because they got a first-round pick for Andrew Ladd and a prospect in Mark O'Donnell. They win. That's it. You have one of your, right? You're trading your captain. And you got a first-round pick and a prospect. Even if that pick ends up being the last pick in the draft, you got a young player and you got a first-round pick. Wonderful. Wonderful. Kevin Cheveldayoff, my hat goes off to you. You did not waste any time. You did, right? This didn't happen on the trade deadline, but still, they figured it out. They figured it out. Winnipeg didn't wait around. They said, hey, look, we're not sure. We need money to sign a whole bunch of guys in the offseason. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to move you. And we're going to get the most possible for you. Great. Success, Winnipeg. Success. You see? That's the price. That was the price. Again, Chicago, a team up against the cap, said, yeah, no problem. We'll take him. Here, what do you need? First round pick? Here, it's yours. A young player? Here, it's yours. We're out there to win right now. The Winnipeg Jets are just acquiring picks and prospects. Good for you. You did everything. Next. Let's stay in the Western Conference. This one's going to be real quick. The Calgary Flames. Look, the return that you got for Chris Russell, amazing. Any team that gets a first round or a conditional second round pick that could be a first for Chris Russell, hats off to you, man. Hats off. Brad Treveling, hats off to you. That is an amazing return for the Calgary Flames. Look, that's what? Was that the only deal they made, I think? No, they traded his name skips my mind. Anyways, they got a ton for Chris Russell. Oh, my God. That is amazing. Still, can't believe it. I don't know how Dallas did that, but good on the Calgary Flames for going out, getting players and a pick that could be a really good one. Again, even if it's in the high 20s, it doesn't matter. A first-round pick is a good pick. Every first-round pick is a good pick. Even a second round, third, fourth, you never know what these picks will give you. Even if you trade them, they may lead to something else, but acquiring picks is essential for teams that are out of it and who want to get better next season. And the Calgary Flames did that. Good for them. Good for them. I still can't believe it, but good for them. Next, head over to the Eastern Conference. The Toronto Maple Leafs, man. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they are a winner, no matter what, okay? Now, the pessimistic Leafs fan will say, well, yeah, but they still have Parenteau, they still have Grabner, they still have boys on their team. Sure, that's fine. They didn't get a deal for every player on that team. Yet they still managed to move Winnick, Mathias, Polak, Reimer, and Spalling. They still managed to move five players and collect a whole bunch of picks. And when I say a whole bunch, okay, they acquired 3 second-round picks and 2 fourth-round picks. Okay? They're stocked. They have 14 picks this year. 14. 14. They have 14. That is a mess of picks. The Toronto Maple Leafs are a rebuilding team. This is no secret, okay, folks? No secret here. But Lou Lamoriello went out and said, hey, we're gonna blow this up. We're going to move guys that are not part of this organization moving forward. And we're going to let these young players come up and play and show us what they got. We want to see what we have. They're going to learn the system, and they're going to learn how to play in the NHL. And Lou Lamoriello made room for all those guys by getting rid of guys. And he got great return. You picked up 3 second-round picks, Polak and Reimer alone. I was like, what? What an amazing deal for the Leafs. Lou Lamoriello was a genius. He did exactly what he needed to do. Good on him. Good on him. This is going to be a rebuild. The team that you see now in Toronto is barely an NHL team. Barely. Right? Guys like Parenteau, Grabner, and Boys are top 6 guys sometimes. I'm like, what? No way. But hey, they did a good job. And maybe they'll sign one of those three. Maybe they'll sign Parenteau, Grabner, and Boys. Maybe. I don't think so. And even if they keep them, look, there needs to be some veteran leadership on this Toronto team. There needs to be some. So, hats off to you, Toronto Maple Leafs. It's not often I say that. But hats off to you, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Lou Lamoriello, you're a genius. And finally, the Carolina Hurricanes. The Carolina Hurricanes are a winner. Here's why. They got picks and players in return for players that they didn't need anymore or want. It's not easy trading Eric Staal. Okay, that must have been a tough one. But you got 2 second round picks and a prospect for Eric Staal. That's really good, right? The Rangers paid the price, and the Hurricanes are the ones that benefit from it. Hey, good for you. Good for them. They traded Chris Versteeg for a conditional fifth round pick to LA. And as we stated earlier, they got a third round pick in 2016 and a fifth round pick in 2017 for John Michael Lyles. Wow. Look, it's going to be a rebuild process in Carolina. This is a team, right? They stuck around enough to make it interesting and say, maybe we have a chance to make the playoffs. Maybe we can get there. You know, let's see how. And then obviously not, right? The Hurricanes kind of flirted with the possibility of being buyers at the trade deadline. But I don't think anybody actually thought that they would. I think everybody thought they would be exactly what they were, which was sellers. And they got everything. They moved players, right? Versteeg, Lyles, not part of their future going forward. Not easy to trade your captain, Eric Staal. I know. But, hey, you got to do something at some point. And they decided they were going to move him. And they got a pretty decent return. I look at that and I say, hey, depending on what, look, we won't know for probably about 4 years what those 2 second round picks are going to end up being. But if they use them properly, even then, maybe they trade them for somebody else. Who knows? But right now, looking at it, the Hurricanes did a good job. They are winners in my books. They moved players. They got picks. That is what the trade deadline is. It's selling. If you're a seller, you need to get picks and prospects. It doesn't, everything else doesn't matter. That's it. And if you're buying, you know what it's going to cost you, right? Don't pull the New York Islanders stunt, right? The Islanders did not get better. The Rangers, they did get better. Good. Good for them. Good for the Hurricanes. I wish they would be better, right? I wish most of the teams on this loser list, on this winners, no, I'm sorry. I wish some of these teams on this loser list would get better. They're not. And the teams that are winners, look, good. Good for them. The Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions. The Anaheim Ducks have won a Stanley Cup, right? Carolina's won a Stanley Cup like way back, so they don't even count, right? So on that winner list, you have two teams that, you know, hopeful for the Stanley Cup. And then you got, you know, the Jets, the Leafs, the Flames, and the Hurricanes. The Leafs and Hurricanes rebuilding. Calgary is, I just, in limbo, and the Jets as well. But they all did something to make their team better in the future. And that is important. For these organizations, right, especially the Jets and Leafs and Flames and Hurricanes, it's important that they get better. They are not good teams. They are not making the playoffs. They need to do something to help change that next season, except for the Leafs. They're going to continue to be terrible at hockey. But even the Leafs at one point will get better. Even the Leafs will get better at some point. Good. I like it. I like it. I like the winners. The losers, well, just whatever. I'm interested to see how they do. This has been fun. This has been fun. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you follow the podcast everywhere. Make sure to check it out at The Fantasy Fix. So www.thefantasyfix.com. You can follow them on Twitter as well, at The Fantasy Fix. You can follow me on Twitter if you want. You can do that, at FuzzyChris91. The podcast has its own Twitter page. In case you don't want to follow me, you just want to follow the podcast at Slapshot Podcast. Subscribe to it on iTunes. Give it a rating. Tell me how much you love it. Tell me how much you hate it. I'm okay with it. Just subscribe to the podcast. Rate it. It's on iTunes. It's on Podbean for you Android users. If you want to get your hands on it and listen to it, get it updated automatically straight to your phone. That way you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to go looking for it. It'll be there. As always, this is a blast. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you guys soon. Bye-bye.